You know, today we're going to look at one of the most popular chapters in the Bible. Hebrews 11 is called the Hall of Faith, and that's basically what it is. The author in Hebrews 11 mentions 16 different people by name that exemplified the life of faith. In fact, the author says, I'd keep going, but I'm out of time. He lists some of the great people of faith. People have done great things. But I want you to understand, he mentions folks that were really normal folks. They weren't supermen, superwomen. They were average human beings. We see them in a kind of loftier light than really they need to be. Because they were all fallible. They were all imperfect, just like you and me. And if they're as imperfect as we are, logic dictates that we have the same potential for great faith as they did. I kind of like that. You know, a lot of times I've heard messages on Hebrews 11, and they put these people up on some great plane of existence that, you know, nobody can ever attain this, you know. But they're just like you and me. Just like you and me. Now, when you look back at the events of your life, you probably see a lot of mistakes. I know I do. And by the way, if you don't see them, I guarantee you somebody else will, and they'll let you know about it. And you may think at this point of life you've made too many mistakes, and that you're not capable of great faith. Well, Hebrews 11 shows us differently. But we have this idea that these folks in Hebrews 11 were just bigger than life, you know. You look at some of these names, you think, wow, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and me? One of these things is not like the other. One of these things doesn't belong, you know. But that's where we'd be wrong. Every person in the Hall of Faith, every great man and woman of God in here in Hebrews 11, as you look through that, and maybe many of you have probably read ahead and you were ready for this morning, they were just as fallible as you and me, and quite honestly, maybe more so. On the flip side of their great faith, you see a different list, if you think about it a little bit. On this list are liars, murderers, adulterers, drunkards, cowards, quitters. And if you flip it around, you can think, well, this is kind of a hall of shame here. The people in this group had seen a lot of failures in their lives, and yet they demonstrated great faith. They were wonderfully used by God in their communities. The life that we live in God, we live in Christ alone. Only through Jesus Christ can we have salvation. There's no way we can earn it. You never can, you never will. If you want to be right with God, you have to accept His Son as Lord and Savior. Have a relationship with Him. He died on the cross for our sins. That's where it all begins. That's where faith begins. And throughout the book of Hebrews, we've been learning that faith is a key that opens the door to a relationship with God. In the book of Habakkuk, Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews, we find these words, "The righteous shall live by faith." So here's a key principle I'd like you to pick up today. God doesn't respond to our needs. He doesn't respond to our wishes and our wants. He responds to our faith. He wants us to believe in Him, trust in Him with every detail of our life. And I want you to understand that this act of faith is what ignites the power of God in your life. This is vitally important. In every message of the series, I've been given a little overview as I go through each chapter as we've been in this series. And so here it is for chapter 11. The author tells us what faith is and what faith does. He defines faith. He describes faith. Tells us what faith looks like in action. You know, he tells us about Abel, Enoch, Abraham, Moses, and a laundry list of others who demonstrated their faith. And how did they do it? They demonstrated their faith by their actions. And then, just like he was writing a TV drama, he throws a little curve at the end. And we'll take a look at that in a few minutes. But if you've got your notes this morning, if you want to go at it, number one, our first point this morning is this: faith is the only way to please God. It really is. And many people ask the question, you know, what does God want for me? What does God want from us? What am I expected to do? Well, yeah, there's things that God wants us to do. Some rules, of course, He wants us to live by to keep ourselves emotionally, physically healthy. You know, we know about all these things. But the question is, what does God most want from us? If you could boil it all down. Well, here we are. Hebrews 11, the first words of verse 6 says, "Now without faith it is impossible to please God." That's what God wants most from us. And the writer of Hebrews mentions this several times. Look at verse 2, if you've got the word open this morning. And I'm from the NIV, I'm going to say it. "For by it..." Which means, and he's talking about faith, "for by it our ancestors won God's approval." Hebrews 11:5. Go down a couple verses. "By faith, Enoch was taken away, and so he did not experience death. He was not to be found because God took him away. For before he was taken away, he was approved as one who pleased God." So faith is all about. He talks about Noah in verse 7. He said it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. "By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith." You see, faith pleases God. I heard a wonderful story not too long ago about a couple that was getting married. They had been engaged for a few years, but about a year before the wedding actually took place, the man got in financial straits. His business went down the tubes. And because of that, he ended up losing his house. And things were just not going very smoothly for this gentleman. And he was in debt up to here, you know. And he thought, you know, I should call this wedding off till I'm on better footing. He said, you know, I just feel rotten about this. But he had a problem, you see. He loved this gal that he wanted to get married to. He wanted to get married to this gal. And so finally he sat down with her and he said to her, "You know, two years ago I was ready to give you the moon. But quite honestly, I pretty much lost it all. I no longer have a beautiful home to offer at this point. I can't even afford to take you to McDonald's for supper. The only thing I can give you is my love and my loyalty." And she said this, "What made you think I wanted anything else?" Well, it ends pretty good. They went on with the wedding, and they got married. The wife became the breadwinner for a while. The husband learned a lot about what a loving relationship is really all about. You know, the same can be said about our relationship with God. Because faith and love walk hand in hand. That's what God wants from us. He wants us to believe in Him. And not just to believe that some supreme being exists. Pretty much everybody deep down, they understand that's true. It's not enough, though. He wants us to believe, to have faith that He is who He says He is. God is a God of love. He loves you. He desperately loves you. And He wants you to love Him. But I tell you what, you can't really love properly without faith. God is a holy God. He is high and lifted up, and He wants you and I to obey Him. But you can't really be obedient without faith. And God, of course, is a God of mercy. He wants to help you become what you can be. But you can't jump on board with His process without faith. Faith is the starting point for a relationship with God. It really is the perfect starting point. You know what I've encountered through my... got a little white hair here. Through my years in churches. And unfortunately, even some among some colleagues years ago. You know, a lot of folks are practical atheists. They live their lives as if this material world really is all there is. That there is no hell, there is no heaven. And they go through the motions of religious activity every once in a while, but they don't have a daily walk, a daily faith based with a relationship with Jesus. And that's what God wants most. So I'm encouraging you today to put more emphasis on your relationship with Jesus Christ, with God. Because your faith is the foundation of your relationship. That's how we please Him. I couldn't help but think of Jared as I was working through this. God, I believe You exist. I believe You are the God You claim to be. I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I'm willing to risk my life on it. And I'm going to go forward for You. That's how we please God. By putting our faith in Him. It's where life begins. We've got to nurture that faith. And here's the second thing this morning. We've got to keep moving today. Number two, God responds to your faith. Well, I like that. And this is an important principle. God doesn't respond to your needs or your wants or your wishes. He responds to your faith. There was a little cryptic response by Jesus. That at first glance you say, now what's He meaning here? But it all fits in perfectly with this. You know, over in, Matthew 9:29, and you don't have to turn there. We'll have it on the screen for you. A couple blind men went to Jesus. And they asked Him to be healed. And what did Jesus say? According to your faith, it will be done to you. See, the pieces of that little puzzle fit together. God responds to faith. Now I know. You know, there's some folks who are facing a difficult situation, either here or on the internet later when this is posted. You know, maybe you're struggling with finances. Maybe it has to do with a relationship that you're struggling with right now. Maybe it has to do with your health. Maybe all of the above. And you're up against it. And you need God to intervene. You know what'll get His attention? No, that's not right. That's not a good way. You know what will ignite His action? The situation won't. Neither will me whining and complaining. No. You know what ignites the action of God? Your faith. According to your faith, it will be done to you. Now, the writer of Hebrews says in verse 6, now without faith, it is impossible to please God, since the one who draws near to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Are you seeking the Lord today? You know, God responds to your faith. He rewards it. It's wonderful. Now, there's this little rabbit trail that people go down sometimes, and it's wrong, but they do it. We do it. It's kind of like this. There's some who talk as if the life of faith is a life of inactivity. So, well, I believe this is going to take place. I'm just going to kick back. I'm not going to get involved. I'm going to let God do His thing. Yeah, which is, implies that, you know, it's a life of doing nothing and expecting God to do everything. But I tell you what, I've learned the very opposite is true. And the psychology of it's pretty interesting. The more faith I have, the more I do. The more faith I have, the harder I work. When I'm inactive, I found that it's not because I'm believing God to do everything. It's because I'm afraid that God won't do anything. Does that make sense? When I'm trusting God the way that I should be trusting God, I work hard because I know that God will reward my demonstration of faith. So the life of faith, I tell you what, it is not an idle life. I-D-L-E, life. That's why the writer of Hebrews tells that what each of these great men and women of God did to put their faith in action. By faith, Noah, what did he do? He built the ark. By faith, Abraham obeyed God, left a land and went to... He had no clue where he was heading to. He just says, here we go. I'm going with you, Lord. And on and on. Here's the principle. God responds to a faith that is demonstrated in action. The life of faith is not a life of inactivity. It's a life of activity. People of faith take action. And when they take action, God responds. How wonderful it is to be in a church that takes action. How wonderful it is. And God responds to faith demonstrated through actions. And here's what I'm encouraging you to do here. Don't give in to the temptation of idleness. I've seen the phrase a lot of times, oh, God's got this. Yes, He does. But we don't want to just sit back on our haunches and wait. Time is precious. Got to keep moving. Here's point three this morning. And here's where the twist is. Here's where the author of Hebrews kind of puts a little twist into it. And it's a long point, but here it is. Even if you have all the faith in the world, you still won't get everything in the world. Some people go through life like, you know, life is a big slot machine. You put in A, you get B. You pull the lever and you know what you're going to get. Doesn't work that way. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says. Now, he talks about the great faith of Noah, Abraham, Moses, people of Israel, prophets, whole bunch of folks. He says they were... Their faith rose them to a level where they were willing to endure beatings, humiliation, prison, yes, death, in order to stay faithful to God. And that's quite a spectrum, I tell you, that I myself aspire to be, but I'm not there. I'll be honest with you. We're all in the process. But if you would, let's look at verse 39 and 40. As he wraps up his little talk here in chapter 11, he talks about all these folks. And he says, all these were approved through their faith, but they did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, so that they would not be made perfect without us. See, they ran the gauntlet so that we might hear the word. They ran the gauntlet so we might hear the good news about Jesus Christ. They paved the way historically. So no matter how great your faith is, just like them, there's some things that aren't going to happen until God's timing comes together. I don't like to hear that, and you probably don't either. But God's timing has to be involved. It's not a question of what you deserve or what He wants to give you or how much He loves you. It's a question of when is the appropriate time to follow through. It really is, as retired Susan Calloway said, it really is a control issue. Now, I know folks who bring to God the same prayer request to God every day, and they've done it for decades. Same prayer request. And they're waiting for Him to answer prayer. It hasn't happened yet for them, but they believe it will. And I am convinced that they're going to keep praying until it does. And they're still asking. They're still waiting. And people of great faith have this experience in life. So, great faith isn't faith that gets quick results. Great faith is a faith that's willing to step out of the comfort zone that you're in. Great faith says, you know, I've been asking God for this for a long time. And the timing isn't right. But I'm willing to wait. I'm willing to keep praying. And keep on believing because I know that God's a good God. But here I am in the meantime. And in the meantime, how am I available to Him? So when you put your faith in the God who loves you, He's pleased. When you put your faith in the God who loves you, He responds. And when you put your faith in the God who loves you, year after year, decade after decade, when you trust Him so much that you're willing to wait as long as it takes, because you know that at the right time, He's going to answer and He's going to step in. At that point, you've earned your place in the Hall of Fame.